You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's January 27th, 2025, and welcome to a special bonus Monday episode of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. My name is John Wall, and every week I bring you my video game impressions, the latest industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek, delivered to you in 15 minutes or your next podcast is free. Thank you very much for tuning in today. On this episode, I am going to be talking about my impressions of Eternal Strands. But first, let's check out some of this week's gaming news. And Microsoft held one of my favorite style of gaming stream this last week with their Developer Direct, and it continued its tradition of being a really impressive showcase of the development teams creating games for this year, plus the usual secret game that they try and sneak in. This year we got a look at Doom the Dark Ages, Clair Obscur Expedition 33, which I didn't know a whole lot about, but looks pretty cool. And the amazing looking South of Midnight, all of which are coming to Game Pass in April and May. That is very cool. And then they surprised everyone with not only Ninja Gaiden 4 from Koei Tecmo and Platinum Games, which Xbox is publishing and is coming out this fall, but then they shadow dropped Ninja Gaiden 2 Black during the show. So that was pretty cool. All told, I think this was probably their best Developer Direct yet. And it showed what a killer Game Pass lineup they have for 2025. It's really looking stacked. Doom and Ninja Gaiden aren't series that I've got much experience with, unless you count the original Doom and the original Ninja game. But I love the fact that I can give them a shot on Game Pass to see if I might enjoy their modern iterations. The year continues to look rock solid for new releases. What would happen if The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild and Dragon Age had a baby? But the daddy might actually be Shadow of the Colossus. And they did it on a AA budget. I think you would get something pretty close to Eternal Strands. And to be clear, I don't mean that in a negative way, like at all. I've put somewhere between 15 and 20 hours into this game, the debut title from Yellow Brick Games, which was founded in 2020 by former staff from BioWare and Ubisoft. And what you end up with is an action RPG with good writing, interesting characters, and fun and creative gameplay. One that was just, you know, maybe done with a more sensible budget compared to other AAA games. So the story in Eternal Strands revolves around a place called the Enclave. Years ago, it was a sprawling metropolis in the center of magic in the world, until they unexpectedly closed themselves off from the rest of the society and raised a barrier to keep all outsiders from entering the city. Decades later, a group of magic users known as Weavers have traveled to the Enclave to try and uncover the secrets of the city and find out why they cut themselves off in the first place. It's a cool setup. And the world that they've created is neat. It is fun to explore. It's bold and colorful. The visuals are a little more animated style, maybe, you know. It's not going for that ultra realistic look. It's maybe similar to the last couple of Zelda titles, but, you know, with a sharper look due to being on more powerful hardware. It's definitely a good looking, it's a good looking video game. I wish though that I was a bigger fan of the animated cutscenes that they use in the game. The animation is just, it's not that appealing to me. I don't think it's top notch, especially considering the very nice illustrations that they use of the characters when you're in conversations. I wish they would have just used the in-game engine for those cinematics. There's not a ton of them. There's been a few in the beginning so far, but it's not a huge deal. Anyway, you play as Bryn, one of the Weavers, who is kind of unexpectedly promoted to the position of scout after what happens in the intro, meaning that you are the one that goes out to explore the area for the team. As you explore the Enclave, you'll come across monsters and other enemies that you'll need to deal with. And Bryn has all sorts of methods of taking on the baddies. You've got a sword and a shield for melee combat. You can use a two-handed weapon as well. There's a bow for ranged attacks. And she also has a variety of magic powers to use, like telekinesis type ability that you can use to pick up items and launch them at enemies, or pick up the enemies themselves and launch them off a cliff. You also get the ability to control the elements like fire and ice, so you can use your ice power to freeze enemies in place while you then go in and slash them with your sword or torch them with flames. And you can use them to interact with the environment as well, like, say, building a bridge made of ice to get across a big chasm, or burning down a wooden structure by lighting it on fire. Pretty much everything in the world can be engulfed in flames. It's fun. It's cool to mix and match and play around with all these different abilities and see what works in different situations. To me, the combat feels a bit like Breath of the Wild, but maybe not quite as tight feeling, I guess. It's good, but it just feels like it could feel better. I don't know. It's hard to put my finger on what feels a little bit off. Part of it might be the stamina bar, which, you know, goes down whenever you attack. So when it's depleted, you have to kind of like back off, run away until it refills. I don't love that mechanic, but, you know, the combat's good. As you explore, you will collect resources that you can then take back to the camp and give them to your various bandmates to get different upgrades like improved weapons and armor and magic abilities. You can also recycle those resources to use to upgrade each of the characters' areas, their little shops and stuff, which unlocks new perks. And the conversations between the group, I think, is one of my favorite parts of the game. They're all pretty interesting characters that you'll want to get to know. And the voice acting is really top-notch, I think. They did a great job there. They do a great job of just giving you this sense of community among these Weavers. Everyone has a distinct personality and a role and a backstory, and I'm actually excited to see how each of their tales plays out. My favorite part of the game, though, is probably the boss encounters. There are these giants roaming the area that are called Arcs, massive, like 30-foot armored soldiers who you need to take down by climbing on top of them and slashing at their armor plating to knock it off, and then attack their exposed skin underneath. They'll try to shake you off or grab you and throw you. These fights are cool. They're very clearly inspired by Shadow of the Colossus, but I don't think I've seen that used in too many other games, so I'm totally okay that they are taking inspiration for that here. There are also dragons that roam the sky that you can go after, and like the Arcs, you can climb on top of them to attack them, but you got to be careful if they like take off with you on their back. It can be a long fall back to the ground below. one of the cooler things I've done in the game so far is I jumped on the back of this dragon right before he flew away. And as he's flying through the sky, I used my ice powers to freeze one of his wings, forcing him to crash back into the ground. I mean, that's just rad. I think that this first game from Yellow Brick Games is it's an encouraging start to their studio. It combines elements of some of my favorite RPGs, but it still manages to feel like it has its own identity. And the characters and the writing and the voice performances are standouts. This is a pretty good start to 2025. So, you guys know how much I love food. I love food. It's the best. I gotta take a second to tell you about my newest kitchen toy. I absolutely love it, and no, this isn't a sponsored bit, although they can sponsor me if they like. But it's the Zojirushi, and I'm sure I said that right, Home Bakery Virtuoso Plus Bread Maker. And oh man, this thing is so cool. I love fresh baked bread, but I've never really tried making it at home. But this thing is idiot proof. You just find the recipe in the included cookbook. We also bought a cookbook for bread makers, which we've been using. And you dump all the ingredients in, hit the buttons, beep, boop, boop, for the type of bread you're making, and boom, let it go. Don't touch it. It's got 2 spinning paddles, so it does all the mixing, the kneading, the proofing, and it bakes it. You literally don't need to touch it again until it's done, which, you know, is usually about 3 hours. Now, since baking bread can be a little touchy and vary depending on, you know, the temperature and the humidity of where you live, we did have to, you know, mess around and tweak it a little bit. We added some more liquid because our loaves were coming out very dense, but after a couple of test runs, we are getting perfect loaves of warm, crusty bread every weekend. We just made a cranberry pecan loaf, and yeah, it's good stuff. My next test is going to be Japanese milk bread so that I can continue my quest to recreate the famous 7-Eleven egg salad sandwich from Tokyo. Before we go this week, I want to send out some positive vibes to the guys of Gamertag Radio. Danny and the fellas are celebrating 20 years of the show this year. Wow. And they just kicked off their celebration with a new interview with Phil Spencer, head of Xbox. 20 years is, it's an incredible feat, and it shows that they have been doing this longer than just about anybody. I thought my decade of podcasting was, you know, kind of impressive, but the fact that they're still going strong after all these years is just something else. So congrats to Danny and Peter and Paris. Well done. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch new episodes of the show Thursday mornings wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review while you're there. If you have a question or comment, you can leave me a voicemail at speakpipe.com/sidequest. And you can find me on Blue Sky by searching for Midlife SideQuest. So until next time, be well and happy gaming.